Our sermon reading today comes from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, a few months ago, my brother Daniel had his first child. It was a boy. His name's Miles. And so now I have nine nieces and nephews. But, you know, there's just something special about seeing your youngest sibling, you know, my little brother, having his first baby. But what I often think about is how new all this must be for Daniel as a new parent. Right? He's 33 now, so he had, you know, quite a few years of independence. This is a big change for him. And this is, you know, one of the perks of being a veteran parent. We get to look now with amusement on all the, you know, the parents who are going through everything we had to go through for the very first time. There are a few other events that will so instantly change your life as having that first child. You know, for example, before children, on a Saturday morning, my wife and I used to enjoy sleeping in, right? 9, 10 o'clock. Now it's, can we get to 7? Can we get to 7:30? We used to schedule our days around the things we wanted to do. Now we schedule them based off our kids. We used to take about an hour to pack for a vacation. Now it's, you know, all morning, the night before as well. But there's also so much more to it than just a change in our daily routine. Ultimately, having a child changes your identity as well, right? I'm no longer just a son, a brother, a husband, a pastor. I'm also a father. And so much of my purpose in life is wrapped up in being a father and providing for my children, protecting them, building a relationship with them, teaching them about life, raising them to be followers of Jesus. Having children is this life-changing event. And of course, the birth of children is not the only time things change in life. In history, there have been huge events that have changed, that have revolutionized the world almost instantly. I think of the discovery of the Americas in 1492 by Columbus. Or the Wright brothers, right, building and flying that first successful airplane in 1903. Or the invention of the first computer in 1946. Or the invention of the World Wide Web in 1990. Or what about Hitler becoming Chancellor of Germany in 1933? Or the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center? Our world has never been the same after each of these events. And there's one last life-changing event in history I want to mention, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. The truth is there's no greater event in history that has so changed, so revolutionized the world as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe me, consider the fact there are almost 2.5 billion Christians around the world today. Nearly one-third of the entire population of the world considers themselves to be Christians, and that's because of the resurrection. However, what I also find interesting, and maybe a little sad, is that if the resurrection of Jesus Christ actually is the most life-changing, revolutionary, transforming event the world has ever known, why is it that so many of us, even as Christians, seem oftentimes to be so unchanged by the resurrection of Jesus? Why is it the birth of a child can change us so much, down to our very identity, but when the God of the universe comes to earth as a man and dies for our sins and is actually resurrected from the dead so we can be saved, why is it that so many people seem to be so unaffected? And I think I have the answer, And it's this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ will only change your life if you really believe it. And if you really understand what a treasure it is for us. And so today we're going to look at the story of the resurrection, and more specifically at the journey of faith that the followers of Jesus found themselves on as they wrestled with what the empty tomb meant for them and how it would eventually change their lives. Today we're in this resurrection story from Luke. And let me set the scene for us. By now, Jesus, he's already been crucified. His body has been taken down from the cross, wrapped in linen cloth, laid in a tomb. The women who were followers of Jesus had seen where Jesus' body was laid. And they planned to come back shortly after the Saturday Sabbath to prepare his body with spices and ointments. However, before they got to the tomb, a stone, probably the shape of a wheel, was rolled in front of the tomb to seal it. And so look at what happens. Again, in Luke chapter 24, it says this. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." These women were expecting to do the ordinary that day. They're going to a tomb looking for a corpse of a dead man and expecting to find a corpse. But what happens to them when they arrive at the tomb was totally unexpected. They find the body of Jesus is gone. And at this discovery, they're perplexed, they're surprised, they're terrified. Now think about this, though. Why are the women surprised? Why was the empty tomb so unexpected to them? And on the one hand, it makes sense, right? Dead men generally don't rise, they stay dead. But on the other hand, Jesus had been speaking of his resurrection at various stages all throughout his ministry. All the way back in Luke chapter 9, he told them this: "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." He had been hinting at this all along. And so what we discover from the story of the resurrection is that the followers of Jesus had heard Jesus say that he would be crucified and resurrected, but they hadn't really heard him. They heard him with their ears, but not with their minds, not with their hearts. And I wonder this morning, how many of us find ourselves in a similar position as these women here? So many people have heard the story of the resurrection. They hear it again and again every year. And yet, for so many people, it always remains on the surface level. They heard the story with their ears, but not with their hearts. It never goes deep. And the reason you know it never went past the surface is because it never really changed them in a significant way. They never really truly understood all that Jesus had done for them. And it didn't lead to a faith that was totally dependent on Jesus. Look at what the angels say in verse 6. They said, "Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Here the angel confirms it as well. Jesus told you this would happen. And so the angels tell these women to remember. Remember what Jesus had been trying to tell you all along. And so these women, they think back on Jesus' words. And verse 8 tells us that they remembered his words. It's as if a light bulb turned on. They're not totally perplexed anymore. We're seeing perhaps the seeds of faith in them. They're thinking, could it be that Jesus is alive? Could it be that he is the Son of God? And the truth is, a lot of us have been here as well in our faith, in that place where something is just starting to click. A seed of faith appears. We see this a lot with kids and youth, and it's exciting, right? You see their faith starting to become their own. A light bulb turns on, and they begin to realize what Jesus really did for them and how it actually, you can see that it matters to them. And for these women at the tomb, that seed of faith, it leads to action. Look at verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. When the women realized what had happened, they go directly back to Jesus to tell Jesus' closest followers, his 11 remaining disciples. But look at how these disciples respond. Right? It says, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. When Luke uses that phrase, idle tale, that same word actually is used by Greek medical writers to describe the babbling of a fevered, insane, delirious mind. In other words, the disciples thought these women were crazy. They were out of their minds. They had lost touch with reality. What they were saying was just, they thought, the silly fantasy of a few crazed women with grief and a lack of sleep. Right? They might as well have told the disciples they had seen a leprechaun riding a unicorn in that tomb. But think about what's going on in the mind of the disciples, though. Right now, they're sitting and hiding. They're afraid of being associated with Jesus. To them, it's over. All that they had done over the last several years was finished. It was a waste of time. Their leader was dead. He had failed. He was not the Messiah. In that moment, they had no thought, no inclination that maybe they should carry on his work. And so when these women come to them with this tale, they find it utterly ridiculous. Jesus being resurrected didn't even cross their minds. They're the very first skeptics of the resurrection. Skepticism around the resurrection of Jesus is not a new thing. It has been around since the very, very beginning. However, one of the disciples was a little curious about what the woman had said. Peter, you know, he'd already doubted Jesus' words once. Jesus told Peter he would deny him three times, and Peter didn't believe it. He said, no, Lord, I would never deny you. And so Peter knows better this time than to be so quick to doubt. Look at verse 12. It says, but Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. I love this narrative of Peter. Everyone else finds the women's report ridiculous, but Peter gets up and runs. There's a sense of curiosity here, possibility, even desperate hope. Peter goes to see for himself and finds that Jesus' body is indeed gone. And what we see in Peter here is interesting. It doesn't say that he believed, but he's amazed. Some translations say he went home marveling at what had happened. Like the women, there's the first steps of faith here. We see a flicker of faith that is to come in Peter. Peter seems to sense something unusual is going on. Something supernatural has taken place. God is at work. And again, maybe you're in a similar place to Peter this morning. You maybe don't understand it all, but something's happening inside of you. Something supernatural seems to be at work in your life. With Jesus, you're starting to find meaning like you've never had before. With Jesus, you're starting to find joy like you've never had, peace like you've never had. Like Peter, you're starting to wonder, could it really be true about Jesus? This is the end of our reading today, but the story continues. Later on, Jesus will make a few different appearances before his disciples until it culminates at the end of Luke when Jesus fully reveals himself to his disciples. So I want to jump ahead to there. Look at verse 36. So the disciples have gathered together. And it says, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. What I really find interesting about this passage is how hard faith seems to come for the disciples. These are the guys who spent 3 years with Jesus. He has even shown them the holes in his hands and feet. And while joy begins to stir up within them, it says, we're also told it was still mixed with disbelief. It wasn't until he explained the scriptures to them fully that they believed. Look at verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And then a few verses later, Luke then tells us how Jesus eventually ascends to heaven. And this is what it says of the disciples. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Right? Full belief, full faith has finally come. And we see the proof, particularly in how they worship Jesus. But really, that's just the start of the changes we see in the disciples. In the weeks, the months, the years afterward, as we continue on in Scripture, we notice a striking difference in the disciples. First of all, they're not cowardly, they're not frightened or timid individuals anymore. When Jesus was arrested, they ran to save their own skin. Peter denied Jesus again and again to avoid being associated with him. Most of the disciples, they didn't even show up to see Jesus' trial or his crucifixion. They abandoned Jesus. However, in the book of Acts, the next book, we find that these same disciples, they're no longer cowards, but they're bold, they're courageous. We read about how these disciples devote their entire lives to Jesus and his message. They leave their homes and their jobs. They're often imprisoned, they're beaten, they're persecuted. Most of them are eventually martyred, they're killed for the sake of Jesus and his message. And the question is, what changes these disciples so completely? What changed them from being these cowards to martyrs? What was the fact that they saw with their own eyes that Jesus was alive? The resurrection revolutionized their lives. I mean, think about it. The disciples, they wouldn't have risked their own lives for the message of Jesus if they didn't know with certainty that he was resurrected. It's kind of like I think of, you know, what happens when the politician you've really been rooting for loses, right? Most of us don't continue to send them money and campaign for them and follow their speeches and debates. No, we usually, you know, throw away the t-shirts, peel off the bumper sticker, remove the sign from your lawn, and you move on to the next candidate. But this is not what the disciples did. Instead, they continued to campaign for Jesus. They continue to follow him. And the reason why is because they knew that even though it looked like their guy had lost, he had actually won. Jesus was alive. He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He did come to save the world. And then that means everything he said was true. And they knew that because he lives forever, we too will live forever. And therefore, there's no reason to fear death. Now, this morning, I recognize we're not all in the same place in our faith. Not yet, anyways. Some of us are maybe like the women at the tomb, who are just starting to experience that seed of faith. Some of us are maybe like Peter, who maybe doesn't understand it all, but he knows that God is at work doing something amazing in the world and in his life. Others of us are like the disciples who have just seen the holes in Jesus' hands and feet, and we want to believe in Jesus, but we have some doubts, we have some questions. And then finally, some of us are like the disciples who have had their minds opened by Jesus, and they believe wholeheartedly, and they worship him, and it absolutely changes their lives. And wherever you're at this morning, that's okay. That's where God's brought you. But I want you to know that God wants to take you further. He wants to open your heart, open your mind to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He wants you to put all your faith in him. If getting married or having a baby changes your life, shouldn't the resurrection change your life as well? Shouldn't the most important event in history also change our lives? Certainly change the disciples' lives. They would spend the rest of their lives devoted to serving God and carrying on the message of Jesus. After all, Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Right? The resurrection so changes us that we actually become new creations ourselves. And so I want to challenge you this morning to be changed. Let your belief in the resurrection of Jesus change you. Let your faith in Jesus and what he's done for you affect your life. For the disciples, it changed every part of who they were and what they did. Every day, every decision, every choice they made was shaped by this identity, this new identity they had. And you need to know this morning that if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus, you have a new identity. You are followers of Jesus, witnesses to the message of his resurrection. And this new identity, it changes us, the way we live. We can let go of our past and walk in a new future. Instead of guilt and shame, we can experience freedom and forgiveness. Instead of the fear of death, we can have hope for a new and eternal life. Instead of discouragement, in hardship and suffering, we can have the peace that passes understanding. And with this new identity also comes new purpose. You're a disciple. You're a follower of Jesus. You've been made a new creation. You no longer live for yourself, but you live for Jesus. And that takes change. And it's okay to begin small. Change doesn't always happen overnight. But for every single one of us, God is calling us. He's urging us to take that next step towards living as a new creation. It could be making a new commitment in your life to maybe read your Bible, pray, go to church, serve in some way. Maybe talking to some friends about your faith or the way that God has changed your life. Whatever it is, I would urge you to think about what's one step that you could take as a disciple of Jesus. Know this morning that the God of the universe loves you. And 2,000 years ago, an event occurred that changed the world forever. Our God sent his son to save you, to show you how much he cares about you, to forgive you of your sin, to save you. But instead of welcoming him, we crucified his son. But the good news this morning is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has risen from the dead. May you believe and be changed. Let's pray.